This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Dick Harpootalian, as we've come to know him for being the defense attorney in the Alec Murdaugh case, he's back to his normal day job as a state senator. He returned to the Senate floor this last week to discuss his client's recent guilty verdict. I always wonder about this, though. He's a state senator, and he's able to take 6 weeks off for his private business, his private practice, and not be doing Senate work. How does that work when you elect somebody? Don't you elect them to go do that job? How are you allowed to still go do another job and be like, well, it's a, yeah, but kind of, I don't know. What other job do you have where they're like, yeah, it's cool. You got your side hustle. Go ahead, put all this stuff that the people elected you to do on the side while you go play superstar defense attorney. I don't know. Anyway, Harpootalian, I always say the name wrong, discussed the implications of the verdict and provided some legal analysis of the case. This is his testimony on the Senate floor in South Carolina just the other day.
Senator from Charleston, what purpose do you ask, sir? Senator,
I'd like to ask the senator a question when he is done.
Why don't you go ahead and ask me the question?
Senator Yields for a question. Senator Yields.
I'm sorry, I've been in a snappy event for the last 6 weeks, so I'm just trying to...
Senator Yields for a question.
Well, Senator, I just want to make it clear, and this is... I have great respect for you and your legal ability, and but did Judge Newman rule against your side, your client?
On occasion. I mean, it's a six-week process. We'd object, they'd object, he'd rule for us, rule against us. Now, are you asking me, do I think he made legal errors? Obviously. I mean, we're going to appeal. Does that mean I'm right? No. There's five folks across the street that'll make that decision, and then there's, you know, federal court. So the process is working. I think that's what I want to tell you.
Well, Senator, what I wanted to ask you, do you think, because I have an opinion on this, and one of the criticisms against the way that we elect and choose judges in South Carolina is that they'll be beholden to legislators once they get on the bench.
Didn't happen in this case.
Do you think that happened to you
in this
case, Senator?
Trust me, okay? I've got a couple big black and blue marks on this rear end of mine that will confirm that.
Please don't. We'll take your word for that. You don't need to show us. But I just wanted to raise. This is the most high profile case probably in the history of South Carolina, and at least in the age of YouTube and internet, it certainly just grasped the attention of a nation and a world even. But I always often hear this criticism that if the General Assembly elects judges, then they're going to be beholden to lawmakers. And I just wanted to make that point. That didn't happen to you during this trial, Senator.
There may have been a point, I've been doing this almost 50 years, there may have been a point in the distant past where, you know, you had one senator per county. Home rule was typically from their home. And things operated differently back then. There wasn't transparency. There weren't computer records. There weren't, and that's evolved so that we're electing a different generation, if you will, than when I started out. And I don't sense that lawyer legislators, I don't get it. I mean, what I will get accommodated on is schedule. If I need motion scheduled on a Monday or Friday to accommodate me, that's fine. But I don't go into any courtroom saying, you know, I voted for that person, or I know that, I mean, many of them at my age, I knew before they were judges and have a personal relationship with them. I just don't see that. I don't see that happening. Now, I'm not telling you that doesn't happen, you know, in some remote rural area where, you know, it's a different environment than where I practice. Although I just spent 6 weeks in a remote rural area, but I don't see that. I will tell you this. I've been around the country. I try cases all over the country over the years. Public election of judges is a disaster. I had a case in Texas.
I agree with that.
I had a case in Texas where we argued a motion, the other side, apparently, I just had local counsel, contributed a whole bunch to that guy. He was just beating us up. He got unelected before the ruling came out. We got another judge who our local council was friends with or contributed to, and we won. So, I mean, that's, I mean, you know, friendship's one thing. Cash is something else. So public election's horrible, in my opinion. Having them appointed by the governor, I think, puts too much power in his hands. And by the way, we have a retirement system for these judges where they have to serve 20 years before they can draw down. So what are they going to be willing to do to make sure they get reappointed? I mean, it's just, this is, I think, while there are problems with this system, I think this is the best system. Now, would I suggest reforms to the judicial merit selection process? Absolutely. And I'm going to do that this year as these bills come up.
I agree with you on that, but that the one issue about popular elected judges, the scales of justice don't have any fingers to stick into the wind, and that's what will happen if we have popularly elected judges. The governor nominating and confirmation by advice and consent by the Senate, that is perhaps acceptable, but the main point that I wanted to hear, because I hear this time and again, that people think, members of the public think that we get special treatment as lawyer legislators, and this case demonstrated, I think, to a watching world, you did a great job, you represented your client well, the prosecution did a great job, you think there were some error, and that's your duty. If you think there may be, and you have an argument in a case that you appeal, but it's pretty clear that you as a senator did not receive any, nor your client receive any special treatment, and that is not the case in general in the state of South Carolina. And we have judges who are they're going to issue rulings that are impartial, and the most important thing you go to court all the time, but when your clients, this is usually their one and only day in court, and they're scared to death. They're worried, are they going to be fairly treated? And this system does produce judges like Judge Newman, who I have great respect for and always have, to rule justly and appropriately.
Well, and it's sort of unfortunate that, you know, what gets the attraction of the criminal case when most cases are civil cases involving money. And because they involve money, more often they're taken more seriously because all we're talking about is somebody's life here. Real money, that's where you would have problems. I don't see it. I don't see judges giving advantages to legislators because they elect them.
Senator, your 5 minutes, Senator from Charleston's 5 minutes has expired.
Unanimous consent to give the senator from Richland 5 minutes.
I think the senator from Lexington is going to do the same. So without objection.
The senator from Richland, 5 minutes. With the senator from Charleston not asking me questions.
Without objection, the senator has 5 minutes.
Thank you. I originally got up here to say this. I got a number of emails, texts, especially from the senator in Lexington, wanting to know how I was. She always wants to know, am I eating well? Am I sleeping well? And I really appreciate those of you who reached out to me. In this maelstrom of a trial, it is hard to focus on anything except the trial. We stayed in Walterboro for 6 weeks. We stayed down there. We pretty well didn't go anywhere, do anything except work on this case. And I want to say a couple things about this process. But at first, my personal observations are that I've been doing this almost a half a century. And it's still, fun is the wrong word, but it's still as enjoyable today for me as it was almost 50 years ago when I began this process of trying cases. And I've tried hundreds and hundreds of them, big cases, little cases. I've won cases, I've lost cases. But that process, if it operates correctly, can be so satisfying to the lawyers. Now, the client, if they lose, they're not satisfied. If they win, typically they feel like they should have won anyway. So it's really not, it's not particularly fun for them or satisfying for them. The second point I'd make is this, and the senator from Charleston has questions about the integrity of the system. Now, I disagree with Judge Newman on some of the rulings he made. He ruled, we objected, it's in the record. The Supreme Court of Appeals have a chance to look at it, and maybe even a federal court. That's not based on bias, or he just had a view of the law different than I had. Now, the third thing I want to say is this. There are, and of course, unfortunately, people feel compelled to express their opinion on things through the internet. Somehow they got a hold of my, I guess it's on my website, my email. I really wanted that big case you had, but that's not what they chose to send me. Most of it was very positive. A lot of it were people that were watching this in Germany or England or the Netherlands, or I mean, wacky. I don't know, they don't have anything else to do in those countries, but a bunch of people here also gave me suggestions on a daily basis what we should do or how we screwed up yesterday. But the folks that sent me the, you are a rotten piece of scum, and I hope you die of, let me clean this up a little bit, rectal cancer, you know, what, they have a misapprehension of the system. They have a misapprehension of our justice system. While they're very familiar with the Second Amendment, they're not, they apparently haven't read the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth, or the Eighth Amendments that guarantee us the freedom guarantee our freedoms of ourselves and our property. John Adams, the second president of the United States, in 1770, eight British soldiers were charged with murdering colonial activists, demonstrators, who charged them. Eight of them were indicted and charged with murder. John Adams represented them in 1770. Six were acquitted, two were convicted of manslaughter, none were hung or whatever. Now, he said that everybody deserves the presumption of innocence and the benefit of counsel. Why? I don't understand this presumption of innocence and everybody's entitled to a lawyer is such an alien concept. But trust me, there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, that me and my co-counsel, we got emails. Not all of them wished rectal cancer on me, but most of them are fairly critical. And so those are people that don't understand the Constitution. They also understand one other thing. I took an oath 49 years ago, and I pull it out from time to time and read it as a lawyer, because oaths matter. Your word matters. I will maintain the respect and courtesy due to the courts of justice, judicial officials, and those who assist them. To my clients, I pledge faithfulness, competence, diligence, good judgment, and prompt communications. To opposing parties and their counsel, I pledge fairness, integrity, civility, not only in court, but also in all written and oral communications. Now, I've not always upheld that particular oath promise there, but God knows I've tried. I will maintain the dignity of the legal system and advance no fact prejudicial to the honor and reputation of a party or witness unless required by the justice of the cause which I am charged. I will assist the defenseless or oppressed by ensuring that justice is available to all citizens and will not delay any person's cause for profit or malice. So help me God. This is an oath I took 49 years ago, and I take it seriously. And by the way, my interest, you don't have to convince me you're innocent for me to represent you. That's not the issue. The issue is, can the state prove your guilt beyond a reasonable doubt? And once you decide that position, you are free to do what is in your client's best interest. If your mind is muddled with, you know, is he innocent or guilty, you cannot do your job. And I've prosecuted, I've put a man in the electric chair, I've defended a man who went to the electric chair. I've done both sides. I'm not a Red Sox fan or a Yankees fan. That's not what this is about. This is doing your job. So those who out there, this may appear on YouTube somewhere, who don't understand that, go read a book. You know, Abraham Lincoln represented 20 murder defendants. Not all of them were acquitted, but he fought for every one of them. This is about a system. And by the way, that system doesn't exist in this state without us. That's the attractiveness of being in this body. We shape how that system works. So I've come back from 6 weeks overseas. And let me also, Margie's not here today, but Margie Matthews was very kind in letting us use her office to have lunch in every day to avoid the, and I know this sounds so vain, paparazzi, who surrounded the Walter Burrow Courthouse, Carlton County Courthouse. And by the way, the people that slept outside for nights to get into the courtroom, get some help. Please. Soon. Okay? There's something wrong with you. I mean, you know, y'all cheered us when we came in or whatever, but you really, really need help. So thank you for being nice to me while I was gone. You took care of abortion. You have not taken care of guns, the majority leader. You could have done it all and brought me back without having to deal with that kind of stuff. But I appreciate you at least getting some of the stuff cleared out.
The senator's time is about to expire. The senator.
Well, I'm expired. Okay.
Well, you've got.
Thank you very much.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
There you go. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases that we're following for you. You can even get a commercial-free experience when you subscribe through Apple Podcasts. And if you don't know this yet, we have specific podcast channels for each case that we're covering for you. You get everything on Hidden Killers and True Crime Today. But if you want to follow just a specific case, you want to follow only Murdaugh, you want to follow only Daybells, we have links to that in the episode description. So do check that out. I am Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.